Okay, Top Gear. There is just something about that SBS Revhead series, isn't there? Somehow, it's even managed to suck in all of us who don't find high-performance carburetors fascinating, or petrol fumes sweet. The Australian version of Top Gear has been highly anticipated. I have my thoughts on it, as does our TV critic Mark Hadley. I'm going to cut right to the chase. I hate it.
Well, you see, leave me some room to work here. Okay, well, you invite me into the studio and then tell me, hey, the program you're going to review, I hate it.
That's right, you're our TV critic. Let me just tell you my particular... Truly, Merrin and I were watching this and we went, no. Anybody who has watched the original UK series with Jeremy Clarkson and the other two guys will know Jeremy Clarkson is very clever, quick-witted, funny, etc. Here, these guys, they've got a particular kind of style to the show. They have this little kind of couch. They gather around it a couple of times during the show to have a chat. They bring in a celebrity. They've got the Stig. They've got funny little lines that cross to the Stig. Then comes along the Australian version, and what do they have? Oh, a guy who does the same kind of lines as Jeremy Clarkson. They've got the same kind of three guys. They've got the Stig. They've got funny little lines.
Fair go. The Stig in this series is white.
How do you know?
No, I mean this, you know, he's wearing a white jumpsuit. In the UK series, he's wearing a black one.
No, he's not.
Oh, okay, then I'm completely...
You're totally wrong. You're totally wrong. In my mind, they've just carbon copied. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they'd taken the very, very script and just basically put the words in people's mouth. Now, right, this is my little... Okay. I've shared my heart. Why do you like it?
Well, thanks for being on the show. Look, you know, what can I say, Sheridan? Welcome to format television. Okay, people are selling formats all over the planet. And honestly, the real problem, in a sense, with having a national market now, and in fact, me being able to watch UK television, is I can actually ruin the game of producers who for decades have just been picking a format up somewhere else and bringing it over here and being celebrated. You know, and so sometimes the formats work and sometimes they don't. You only have to look at Kath and Kim in the United States to know that sometimes it's doesn't work. Sometimes it does cross over. The Office is kind of the same in the United States as the UK version, but is a different sort of funny. So some people really like both of them, but for different reasons. Mm. Now, you and I differ on Top Gear, I'm afraid, mainly because you really do know the UK series and I don't. Okay, so
you haven't watched any of the UK series?
Oh, no, look, for research purposes, I went back and watched some of them.
You went back? Right,
no, I wasn't
so
a fan of it, no.
You came with a pretty much a clean mind.
Yeah, I was the newbie, so to speak.
And how did you feel when you were watching it?
Well, I saw a really interesting way of actually grouping an audience together. I like the real playfulness of the series. The camera styles are really kind of interesting. I mean, they get you right down into the car. And just the sheer prank nature of it, the big guy playing around, boys with toys.
Yeah.
It is really touching something, you know, in most guys, they like to see that. But because it was new to me, I didn't really feel like I was, you know, seeing tired formats, you know, which is really what I take it you're rebelling against.
Yeah. Oh, it's just a carbon copy. And I like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if the script was pretty much taken and these guys have read the script that the UK guys do. But that's interesting, because my idea would be that the Australian version of Top Gear has been produced by SBS to tap into the already existing lovers of the UK version of Top Gear.
There's the problem with this series. You see, even though I like it, it's probably not going to do terribly well in Australia, because it hasn't actually taken us further. And when I started going back and looking at the UK episodes, I realised that this was a case of format photocopying. And so they'd moved over. Now, sometimes that's contractual. Sometimes producers actually have to stick within the boundaries of things to protect the integrity of a product. And that can be in a contract.
Yes.
Okay. But and sometimes they even have to take on key staff members and things like that. I'm not privy to those details and, you know, for SBS's production. But I do know that the feeling would be this is such a big program overseas, is doing so well, they probably don't want to monkey around with the details too much. The problem is, like you say, they're tying into the same audience. Mm. So we will either see this series die, or what we will see is it will morph into much more of an Australian series, playing more Australian tricks, touching into more Australian things. And if you look at some of the recent episodes, like where they took a tractor into Toorak, you know, which was to play on the whole idea of the Toorak tractor, you know, and then that was really an Australian joke. It wasn't really going to play on too well anywhere else.
Sure.
When they did their sort of GPS test, but stuck it in the middle of Kakadu, as opposed to, you know, elsewhere, it really did bring a certain Australian flavour to it. And matching themselves up against, you know, an Aboriginal tracker was a nice touch. Mm. The more it moves towards that sort of situation, the better. But that doesn't actually solve any a more intrinsic problem to the program, which I have. You're supposed to jump in now and say, what? You dislike something about the program?
But you love the program, don't you, Mark?
Well, I kind of like the program. But programs can be great entertainment and still be thoroughly irresponsible. As far as advertising is concerned, we have regulations, self-enforced codes for the advertising industry in terms of cars, that they're not allowed to advertise cars in a way that shows irresponsible driving.
And they
do that. They agree with that because everybody knows that somebody can watch something and they can get excited by it. And because not everybody has access to a racing track or a Formula One, they'll take their Datsun 200B out onto the local road and try and do exactly the same thing. Therein lies some of the tragedies, you know, and that's where we start, you know, that's when you can start getting a little bit worried. But this is a bit of a backdoor to advertisers. I guarantee they are queuing up.
I've often wondered then, because the UK version, which I've watched a lot more of when it comes to Top Gear, some cars get a wonderful glowing report. Some don't, though. They do get a bit of a thrashing. So,
well, they do take a punt on these review-style programs. You know, the manufacturers do take a bit of a punt. But what will happen with their model is that they, generally speaking, will be shown in the best possible light with the great cameras and styling.
Yes.
They will get thrashed around a track somewhere and people will do some amazing things with them. When they make a feature of that, for example, saying, hey, this one can do 160 kilometres an hour, I can't help but sit back and go, but it's not legal to do
that's
160
right.
kilometres.
But where can somebody actually
where
do, that?
Do that?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And
so
to that degree, even though it's fantasy and it's fun,
someone's
got to say at one point, hey, guys, how is this going to help?
And are we actually getting around the law through a back door? That's a very good question you raised. When I was a kid, and I'm sure that you and I aren't too far different when it comes to age, Knight Rider.
The first compliment of the evening.
Hardcastle and McCormick, Starsky and Hutch, all of those kinds of programs, you know, tyre spinning, rubber burning, sidelining, kind of cars jumping over things. I used to love that as a kid. Then suddenly it all went away. And part of me, I think, likes Top Gear because I get to see all that. Funnily enough, I actually don't do that in my 1998 Corolla.
Well, here's the big difference, and maybe you've made the jump, you know, 10 out of 10 for you, is that we've got to, as human beings, be able to make the separation between what we think is fun and entertaining and what we actually think is responsible, what we do.
Yeah.
And in a sense, it's kind of interesting the Bible looks at how we behave this way, and it says, being tempted to do something is not a problem. Sin comes in when a person decides to go, I'm going to actually do that, or I'm going to work to do that, or that's my goal to do that, or something like that. When we actually put our will behind something and decide that's appropriate, that's when we start stepping out of line, you know. And I guess in a car program like this, you can watch it, you can get a kick out of it. I love the sort of things that, you know, they did in the UK version, the absolute, you know, precision cars they get, and they rip them around the tracks. And the Stig, I mean, who wouldn't want to be able to drive that fast and do those things? You can't help but imagine yourself in the seat. But if I'm prepared to start driving like that, if I give in my sense of ego and self-fantasy and behave that way, then, look, I'm just not being a responsible human being. So some people, great. They'll have a good time watching the TV series. Some people would probably need a bucket of water over them before they got into their own car.
So Mark Hadley's final verdict on the Australian version of Top Gear is it's fine to watch as long as you're holy. Thank you, my friend. Mark Hadley from Anglican Media there.